Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Friday. Sal Capaccio with you, and it's time to welcome in Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott for his weekly radio appearance. Good morning, Coach. Happy Football Friday to you.
Good morning, and happy Football Friday as well to you.
All right, Coach. Well, here we are, 48 hours or so away from obviously a really important game for this organization, this franchise. I've been kind of asking fans today to kind of what their emotions are like. You guys seem like you're always on an even keel. Like, what's it like for you inside the building today as far as preparation and, you know, thinking about the task at hand?
Well, I think like the fans, we're definitely getting excited. That said, we're so routine-based and, mm-hmm. and kind of going through our week and making sure we're ready to go.
All right, Coach. Obviously, some injury updates that we want to get to here, so let's get to our Barnes Firm, the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Any updates you can give us on players this week that could possibly be out or how practice might go today?
Yes, Taylor Rapp will be out. Christian Benford remains in the concussion protocol. He will not be at practice today. He's also dealing with a personal situation that he has going on. Milano, Taron Johnson will be full today. We'll see how they continue to trend heading into game time.
On Matt Milano, Coach, I know there was some ambiguity on Monday when you were asked about it, and then he did participate in a limited fashion the last 2 days. How do you feel that his week has gone for him with the hamstring?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you'd expect. You know, it was, you know, sore there and dealing with it. He's still dealing with it. It's just a matter of, again, how he handles it today. He's going to do a little bit more today just from a testing it out standpoint, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, where it's kind of one of those things that's a little bit up in the air.
Okay, Coach. Obviously, with Taylor Rapp out, you know, we've seen Cole Bishop fill in for him. What have you seen from Cole as a rookie in his development when he came in a little bit? I know he had an injury early on, you know, preseason training camp. And what have you seen from him since, though, he got back on the field early in the season till now?
Yeah, I mean, that injury in camp there set him back, you know, just from a growth and experience standpoint, missing those reps. That being said, once he got in the flow and got rolling, ever since that first game, I think it was a great learning experience for him, and I think he's done a real nice job and will continue to grow as he moves forward here.
All right, Coach, your organization had three people who are going to be finalists for awards, I'll just say this: I know a lot of Bills fans believe you should have been a finalist for Coach of the Year, but I digress right there. I don't need you to comment. I'll just let you know a lot of Bills fans believe that, but I will say that you have Comeback Player of the Year DeMar Hamlin as a finalist. I just want to go through each of these and kind of you speak about why these people represent this particular award and why they're worthy candidates. DeMar Hamlin, of course, from what he came back from to be a starter on this defense, why is he a good choice for a finalist for Comeback Player of the Year?
Well, like you said, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's had a heck of a journey and where he's come from, the significance of the injury and the journey he's been on. I don't think anybody out there can match that, right? And not that you want to. It's just an incredible example to me of, mental toughness, faith, and courage.
Assistant Coach of the Year. That's only been around since 2014. Brian Daboll won it in 2020. Now Joe Brady is a finalist. Why is Joe Brady a worthy candidate for this award?
Well, coaching to me, a big part of coaching is who can take what they have and make it better, right? And means if you got a really good team and you can make it a great team, if you have a, you know, whatever, you can fill in the blanks. It's just, hey, what do you do with what you have? And I think Joe's done a really good job of creating an environment on the offensive side of the ball and a certain energy, and then taking the strength of his players and doing things with it. And I think that's a sign of a good coach.
And you've said before here and elsewhere that you believe Josh is the MVP of the league. Why does Josh have the – what exemplifies Josh as a worthy MVP candidate and possible winner this year?
Well, like I've mentioned before, everyone sees what his production has been on the field. I do think that part of the difference this year has been you know, his decision-making and his disciplined decision-making, and that'll need to continue. And then – his leadership overall on our football team and the impact that has brought to our team.
Josh, obviously protecting the football very well this year. So are the Chiefs, obviously, since the Week 11 game against you guys. I don't think they have a turnover. I know Mahomes has not thrown an interception. How important will ball security and, you know, that particular aspect of the game be this week, just like it was last week with three turnovers you guys forced against the Ravens?
Well, the fundamentals are going to be important, right? The blocking, the tackling, the throwing, the catching, the kicking, all those areas are going to be important, which includes, you know, protecting the house as far as taking care of the football.
All right, Coach, obviously a team you're very familiar with. I asked Cam Lewis the other day, I was like, is it just as simple as we know you know us, go out there and play? He said, kind of, but you know they're going to have some wrinkles too, right? Is that really what it comes down to? Hey, we know basically what they're going to do. We just have to be aware of if they're going to try a little bit some things different, and we got to have a few things planned ourselves.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. I think more than anything, it's about execution this time of year and who's able to execute, you know, play after play. So that's you know, what Cam said, I agree with.
And then on the other side, on the defensive side of the ball, Chris Jones, obviously a guy you have to reckon with, and you've seen him. What makes him a special, Coach? Why can he be a game wrecker?
Oh, boy. Well, this time of year in particular, he usually plays at a very high level. You know, if you go back and watch all their postseason runs and their Super Bowls, it's usually Chris Jones on the defensive side, at least, you know, making those plays that impact the game. And I believe he did it last year in their Super Bowl win. And you've got to make sure that you account for him in everything you do.
All right, and then obviously I can't let you go without asking about preparing for Patrick Mahomes. You guys have had, you know, you had Bo Nix, who had an outstanding season. You had Lamar last week, Patrick Mahomes this week. It seems like it never ends, but here you have a three-time Super Bowl champion. What makes him so special in running that offense, especially at Arrowhead?
Yeah, I mean, you name the quarterbacks, right, and the head coaches. You're saying Sean Payton the first round, John Harbaugh the next round, yeah. And then now Andy Reid. It's a heck of a challenge, right? And you're saying these quarterbacks now, Patrick Mahomes. You know, I think our defense has done a really good job through the first two games. This challenge will be even bigger for us. So we've got to play well in all three phases and play complementary football.
Sean, good luck. Safe travels to Kansas City. And once again, I'll say I think I speak for many, many Bills fans, all of them listening here, where I can't wait to talk to you and hope we do coming up in the next couple of weeks. Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Sal. Have a great weekend.
You got it. That is Sean McDermott, head coach of the Bills. He has ruled out safety Taylor Rapp from this game. We'll see how it goes with Milano and Taron Johnson. Christian Benford will not be at practice today due to a personal matter. He also is in the concussion protocol still, so we'll see where that goes. Obviously concerning if they, you know, with Christian Benford, so I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and hope, okay, everything's okay in his personal life, and he'll get cleared for concussion protocol, which is always something you never can tell, and he'll be on the field against the Kansas City Chiefs. But we'll see. He was there yesterday. I will say that McDermott said Matt Milano and Taron Johnson will both be full participants at practice today, so that matters. And here we go. This is my – you want to hear my confidence and concerns? I'll tell you. I asked for yours. I'll give you mine. My number one concern – is the safety position. Because you are facing here a great quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, a great play caller in Andy Reid, with a rookie safety next to DeMar Hamlin, who has done a really good job this year. But we all know DeMar next to Taylor Rapp, you know, is a better fit for him. I shouldn't say better fit. I want to say it that way than Cole Bishop. But it's a good fit for him, because he doesn't have to play that center field type role where Taylor Rapp can a little bit, and maybe Cole Bishop can, but he is a rookie, and he's going to get tested. My concern is that being tested deep, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, even DeAndre Hopkins to a lesser extent, he's not as much, Travis Kelce, middle of the field a little bit deeper, right? That's my concern going into this game. I think the Chiefs, early on in this game even, are going to test the Bills' safeties. They're going to test Cole Bishop, DeMar Hamlin. The Bills have to be ready for a deep shot or two early in this game. How you mitigate that, though, is by getting to Patrick Mahomes early enough. Do not let him sit back there and take that shot. The Broncos did it. They scored on the fifth play of the game. The Ravens scored on a deep ball to Rashad Bateman in the first quarter, or at least got very close to the end. They did score on that drive, I think. I think they did score on that drive. Either way, you get the point. They completed a big, long pass down the middle. And that is something the Bills have to be very aware of this week. You have Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown and all that speed, a rookie safety, Cole Bishop, DeMar Hamlin, who has done a nice job. He's not the most athletic guy in the world. He's done a nice job to keep things in front of him. But that's my concern. My confidence here for the Bills, I could say Josh Allen. That's easy to say. Of course, you have Josh Allen. Why wouldn't you be confident, right? I want to be careful about this, though, when I say it. Because my confidence is something that has really hurt this team over the last several playoff years. I just think the Bills' defensive line can beat the Chiefs' offensive line. The Chiefs' offensive line has been the talking point in Kansas City, and they've struggled at times this year. They've had mix and match all over the place. They've moved Joe Tooney out from guard to tackle. That's actually impacted the interior more than him. I think he's done a good job, except that now you've seen him on film. There have been some warts there with him handling some really good pass rushers, including last week. Of course, the Texans have a very good pass rush anyway. But that's, like, my confidence is, I think that. And I actually would go the other offensive line, the other way. I think the Bills' offensive line, the way they're playing, makes me confident. Not necessarily they can just take it to the Chiefs because of Chris Jones, Karlaftis, the guys they have. They're very, very good. But the way they're playing, with six offensive linemen pounding the football, controlling the ball, I'm very confident that they'll have a game plan to do the same thing. Doesn't mean it's going to work. The Chiefs stopped the Bills' run game last time they were here. Outside of Josh Allen, the Bills ran for like 2.2 yards a carry. Not good enough. Got to be better this game. But Spencer Brown wasn't in that game. Bills didn't have Dalton Kincaid that game or Keon Coleman. Chiefs also were without several of their starters and players. So there's my concern. There's my confidence. I agree with Sean McDermott about the fundamentals in this game and how taking care of the football is a big part of that. It's a big fundamental. I just keep playing this game over in my mind. And the number one thing that I keep seeing is whichever team makes a critical mistake or two at a critical time is going to lose. That's what happened with the Baltimore Ravens. They made the critical mistakes. The Bills did not. We can argue all day about how the Bills might have forced it or not forced it, caused it, whatever. They made the mistakes. The Bills didn't. That's why the Bills advanced last week. I think the same thing can be said for this week. But you're playing a team here in Kansas City who just doesn't make mistakes, like the Bills. They actually rely on you to make them, and then they capitalize. That's what you're dealing with this week. All right, let's get back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Patrick in Las Vegas. What's up, Patrick?
Sal, thanks for taking my call. Working here in Las Vegas, in the industry that built this town, I rely on data to calm my nerves. I could say for the 20th different time how neurotic and nervous and uneasy I am about the prospect of losing or being in a close game. I think we're fans. We all feel that. Working with data every day as I do, not every day is a red banner day in the casino industry, but I mean, you know, the house always wins is true. And we rely on math and we rely on data to put us in that direction. And I know you guys look at Pro Football Reference a lot.
I do.
One number that really, really stood out with me, and I believe it's a historical outlier. Kansas City's expected win-loss this year put them at 10-7. The last team to have that type of disparity in win-loss and expected win-loss was a team we're all familiar with, the 2022 Minnesota Vikings, who got one of their 13 wins because Josh and the offensive line couldn't execute a center snap backed up on their own goal line. Minnesota recovers it for a fumble in the end zone. They score. I know we forced overtime, blah, 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 blah. But those are the types. They were an outlier of like 4.5 wins. The Chiefs were a 5-win outlier this year. I know anything can happen any given Sunday. I believe that. I know the Chiefs are great. They've got the resume. But if I'm taking Kansas City off of the numbers this year, and I'm ignoring their past, and I'm just looking at the data, I'm asking myself, how the heck did they get here? How the heck did they get to be the one seed? How the heck are they hosting this game? I'm not saying Buffalo should win, but if you told me, looking at the data, that Kansas City would be in the position they're in today, I'd be saying they're due for a correction. When that correction comes, I don't know. I hope it comes Sunday. I'm optimistic it comes Sunday. And that's all I have to say.
Go, right.
Bills.
You got it, Patrick. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the breakdown. Dan in Tonawanda. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Sal. Good afternoon. So what that last caller was talking about is the law of averages, which can also be referred to as the gambler's fallacy. Mm-hmm. So while I hope he's right, I don't know if that's going to be the case. But either way, you know, I look at it going into this game. It's a little bit of a different approach than I think most fans are taking. I think a lot of people are looking at it as all the pressure's on Josh, and it's a legacy game and everything else on those lines. And I look at it a little bit differently. I look at it from the perspective of I don't think there's as much pressure on Josh as people make it out to be, because right now, going into this morning, Josh is labeled as the guy who can't beat the Chiefs, and Andy Reid has their number, and we all know the historical past with an 0-3 record. So if they lose on Sunday, what changes? Nothing, really. I mean, they're still the team that can't beat the Chiefs, and they're still the team that Andy Reid has their number, and, you know, we can't get over that hurdle. So to me, I look at it as we have everything to win. And, I mean, I look back at it, and it's a sense of calm, I guess, more than anything. Because I'm a glutton for punishment, I went back and watched the Four Falls of Buffalo, and I watched Tim Russert's plea when he talked about it's got to happen someday, right? It's got to happen someday. Why not this year? I mean, I guess I'm trying to take a calm approach to it.
No, I totally get it. I think, it's almost, you're right. Like, hey, well, what's the worst that can happen? We've been through the worst, right? That kind of approach, which the best that can happen, we haven't experienced. Let's go do that. The worst that can happen, we've already been through that. We don't want to again, but it's not like we haven't done it before. And I totally understand that thought. Thanks. Sorry, I just cut you off there as I hung up, but I totally get it, and I appreciate the call. Let's go to Nate in New York City. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Sal, how you been, brother? It's been
good,
a long
buddy.
Time.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Hey, a couple things. First, just on the X's and O's, call me crazy, but I think that we beat the tougher team last Sunday because I think Lamar's a tougher quarterback to match up with than Mahomes, and I think Derrick Henry's a tougher running back to match up with over Pacheco, and I think Likely and Andrews are tougher tight ends to match up with compared to Kelce and Gray. So I feel like we've already sort of been through the toughest test we're going to be through. And if I'm calling a spade, I think Kansas City should be scared of us coming in here and not the opposite.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've all seen Kansas City vulnerable this year at times, but they find ways to win. And I think we've seen the Bills just have this consistent approach, and they find ways to win too. But I like your thought and the way you laid that out, Nate. Thank you. Curtis in Niagara Falls.
Right over here.
What's going on, my man?
Gone.
You're on the air, buddy.
Did you roll the square one?
Curtis,
I had that was
hello. Hold on. Let's go. Yeah, we're going to – Curtis, call me back. Call me back, Curtis, because whatever you were doing there wasn't being on the radio. Let's go to Mike in Rochester. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Sal?
Good, buddy.
I just want to let you know, man, that we're all excited not only to go and win the game, but we're excited for you, man. We want to see Sal Capaccio on the sideline for the Super Bowl, man.
I'd love that.
We respect you, man, and you give a lot of props. And take some time, man, and know that the Mafia want this not only for the team, but for you, Sal.
Well, listen, Mike, I appreciate it. Listen, it's not about me, but it would be, I will say selfishly, I'll say it this way, professionally, being able to be on a radio broadcast of a Super Bowl game would be like the pinnacle of a career, right? I mean, and I've thought about that. And, you know, for Chris Brown and for Eric and for me, I mean, you know, these are my friends and my colleagues. I want it for Chris. I want it for Eric. I want it for Murph, who didn't have that chance, right? But, you know, for sure, it's part of it. And I want to be a part of it. And look, if they do this thing on Sunday, if they go do the thing, Mike, on Sunday, I promise you, buddy, you're going to have the best content for 2 weeks long running into New Orleans. I promise you, buddy.
Yes, sir. And one more question.
Yeah.
Now that we know that rap is out, is there a possibility that Micah Hyde could call him up? I mean, this is the AFC Championship game, man. There is no next week.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it. Sean McDermott was asked about it earlier this week. He said no.
Okay.
And I think my guess is they just don't think that, you know, whatever the conversation was, Micah, maybe it was, hey, you're never going to play. You'll be here in the practice field with us, helping us out, practicing, being a part of the practice squad. But, you know, to throw him in there for his first time in over a year playing an AFC Championship game might be a little too much. My guess is maybe Kareem Jackson gets elevated, who is a veteran, who would be a backup safety in this situation. But just to answer your question, Sean McDermott did say it, there's no Micah Hyde this week.
All right. Thank you, Sal. God bless you, Manny, and God bless the Mafia, and go Bills.
You got it, Mike. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the kind words. All right, I think we're back with Curtis. What's up, Curtis? You were in a conversation with me last time.
My apologies, Sal.
It's all good.
Hey, nice to talk to you. You know my confidence. I've been up since preseason. When you made those preseason predictions?
Yeah, I do. I got them right here. I got them.
You still carrying those receipts?
I do. Hold on. Wait, I got it right here. Hold on. Seriously. Hold on, Curtis.
Yeah, I said 13-4.
Hold on, you got 13. Curtis, 13-4 with a Super Bowl championship.
Correct.
You and Robert from Hoboken were the exact same. You were the only ones that said that.
I got a friend named Robert. He texted me the other day. He said, where should I meet you at Delaware? I said, in front of Tim Horton. I'll be sipping on a triple-triple with a mocha shot.
Oh, baby. I hope you can, man. I hope you get that chance.
I hope. Well, you meet me in front of Tim Hortons. It's on me.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. Thank you, Curtis. I did write all those down. Clayton in North Carolina. What's up, Clayton?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I just want to let you know my feelings. I'm a little anxious, excited, confident, but most of all, I'm proud to be a Bills fan. I was born and raised in Salamanca, moved down to Wilmington about 13, 14 years ago, and still a season ticket holder. I make my trips back 4 or 5 times a year. But what I'm a little worried about is the special teams and Matt Smiley.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So with T-Bass, he is feeling a little bit more confident. But I went back and watched some of the film on what KC does during the extra points and their field goals. And I can't think of another team that has blocked 2 field goals in a season, let alone being at the end of the games, you know, fourth quarters. That Denver game, they blocked it, basically won the game based off of that.
And then last week against Houston.
Last week against Houston.
And now, let me ask you, did they both come from the defensive right, the offensive left, right?
So what they do is they overload 6 mm-hmm. to one side. They put 4 on either right or left, and then they have a DB in the back probably as a safety net. And they smash through the B gap, and they have 2 guys double team in the guard, and they'll have another guy or 2 on the tackle, and they slip one through the B or C gap. And they don't necessarily line up right or left. They switch it up. But they do the same thing each time. And they don't necessarily block each one. But if you look back in the Houston game, Fairburn he did have a bad game. But he shanked 1 field goal, blocked 1, missed an extra point. And even the ones that are close, or even the regular ones that make it, they almost come close to blocking it each time. And I don't know if Smiley's smart enough to pick that up.
Well, they'll do the film review on it, and I'm sure they will pick it up. The problem is you got to have a plan for it to make sure that you how would I want to say this, Clayton? You block it without compromising elsewhere. Does that make sense, right? I think that that's the issue you have. I'm sure they're aware of what they do, but they still have to go block it, and they still have to do it without compromising something else. I like your thought here, because I think special teams is obviously something that has hurt the Bills a bit this year. Now, against Denver, as I said on the Monday morning, they gave up against Denver, the fake punt. But you know what? Otherwise, I thought they were really good on special teams all throughout the game other than that one play. I mean, they did a really nice job with their gunners. Bass was great on kicks. So I think they've been trending well here. And I would also say, Chiefs special teams, Dave Taub, as you know, Clayton, I'm sure you probably know this, he is one of the best special teams coordinators the league has seen in a long time. They're good on special teams, and especially the blocking kicks. They don't have the same kind of ceiling they've had on special teams over the last few years, though. So I agree with you. Like, that's something that they're going to scheme up, but I think at least you're not dealing with this, like, unbelievable special teams unit that comes in here and, you know, like they have the last few years. So thanks for the breakdown. I appreciate it. They will have it coached up, but they're going to have to block it. That's the bottom line, Clayton. Thanks, buddy.
That's right. Go Bills.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Clayton. We'll take a timeout. If you're on hold, you can stay there. I'll get to you as soon as I get Patrick Hammer on. We'll get through the weather. If you want to not do that, that's fine, but I do want to tell you I'm going to have Patrick Hammer on coming up. WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We're going to talk about weather for this game, weather for the game in Philadelphia, because, oh yeah, there's an NFC Championship game as well that's happening this weekend. And, of course, it is the Football Friday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, it's time for a break. We will be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Patrick Hammer up next.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Well, for not the last time this year, because we're going to talk beyond this about, you know, yeah, weather in other cities and maybe even New Orleans. I think that might happen. Pat Hammer joins me, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist on the Wester Hotline. Are you at the rally this morning?
So I was back here kind of holding the fort down in the studio. But, you know, the rally took place not only on the Today Show, but, you know, on our show Daybreak as well. And it was really cool. I mean, the Bills and the city all came together and the Today Show, NBC, and that rally. I think the big story, in my opinion, Sal, is that they showed the other three cities and their rallies respectively. And they had some cheerleaders, and they were in a bar or a restaurant, and they had a couple of, you know, a handful of fans. According to estimates from the city, 800 to 900 fans showed up for the rally this morning.
Love it.
For the Today Show. It's incredible.
Amazing. Did you see the rally the other day where the mayor of Philly spelled Eagles wrong?
Come on.
Yeah, but this happens with mayors a lot. Like where they say they trip over their words, they say wrong. Remember the one in Boston years ago? They were talking about all the different heroes of the Boston sports scene. And they totally botched it. And the mayor in Philly the other day was doing the E-A-G-L-E-S, but she mixed up the letters. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, so not everybody, I mean, hey, it is a mayor. You should be used to talking on stage. Not everybody talks for a living like you and I do. And even when we do that, we screw up things, right?
Oh, the amount of mess ups I have. I have a whole segment. It's called the apology segment.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And I make all the graphical errors that I made, the forecasting errors, the things that I should have said, you know, all of it.
Okay. Speaking of that, I am not saying you made an error last week. What did you think about the weather last week after what you thought about the weather last week for the game?
So, the cold was there. I think it was just the lack of wind made it really, as you would agree, it wasn't that bad, right? I mean,
no, I'm more talking about the snow, though.
The snow for last week.
Against the Ravens, there was just more snow than maybe.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay,
you understand what I'm asking?
Yes, okay. Yes. So that's been kind of the theme this year. That and when it comes to snow, it's the lake effect snow that is the trickiest part,
right? And you say that all the time.
I know. And all of the snow we've had this winter season has been lake effect. Literally every flake. So that's made the forecasting a little more challenging. Hey, happened last night. We were forecasting snow. It came, but it was like 3 hours late. And all of a sudden the commute was fine. But it got really heavy last night. But no, you're right. It was a little bit more than expected. And the temperatures were not as cold. So you know, at the end of the day, there wasn't as much of an impact. But yes, the snow was a little more prolific.
Yeah, last night. So last night we had this event for, you know, and by the way, just a little promo here. I'm going to Italy. WGR sending me to Italy. You've been hearing me talk about it. And last night we had the event at the Richardson Hotel where people could come and learn about the trip. By the way, Pat, you need to come to Italy. It's going to be amazing. This trip is going to be absolutely amazing. Anybody listening needs to go check it out. It's going to be in July. So we go to the Richardson. We do this whole thing. I look outside and I'm like, holy cow, like, what is going on here? It just came down here in the city.
This is like, yes, and about 4 inches came down in about an hour and a half. So now that was, you know, we saw that coming. We just thought it was going to happen a little earlier, which is why we had these alerts for the commute and all that. But no, that was expected. But, you know, and by the way, the lake is pretty much frozen over, but it didn't care. It didn't matter. It snowed anyway. So, yeah, that was pretty intense last night.
All right, so let's move on to the next couple of days. I've heard from many people who are going to Kansas City for this game. Obviously, I'll be traveling there as well. Let's talk about the travel to Kansas City this weekend and then at the game Sunday, 5:30 p.m. Central Time.
Okay, so just a perfect weather night, you know. The game is not going to have any impact due to live weather at all. It's going to be 30 degrees at kickoff, 28 degrees in the fourth quarter. Very little, if any, wind, no wind chill, no precipitation. If you are traveling there, very easy, lazy weather, mid-30s both Saturday, Sunday, some clouds, some sun, just no big storms, no looming weather patterns that we got to dissect. This one is pretty straightforward, and it looks perfect for a passing offense, I got to believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's may the best team win in those conditions, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down
to. Absolutely.
And then before that, there is a game in Philadelphia where last week, boy, that snow really came down. I do think it impacted game on some level, right? But I don't know, what are we expecting in Philadelphia for the 3 p.m. start, Commanders at Eagles NFC Championship?
So that does not look like there's, you know, the weather that usually comes here ends up there. And right now it does not, we're going to have a pretty easy weather weekend. Right now I'm expecting temperatures to be pretty much in the 20s and 30s and not really expecting much in the way of precipitation. There's going to be some snow showers around here, but I just don't think they're going to make it to Philly. I think the weather there looks fine.
What's going on in the South, man? Holy cow, this snow. New Orleans, Houston, Florida. It's crazy.
How about Florida?
Yeah.
How about Pensacola?
Yeah.
Getting like 10 inches.
Amazing. You tell me about it.
This is a once in a generational thing. I mean, I think the last time this happened was in the 19th century.
Wow.
They can get snow showers over there, but they're usually just kind of, you know, token snow showers, no big deal. But this was like a full blizzard. You know, they issued a blizzard warning along near Lake Charles for the first time ever. There were definite blizzard conditions in New Orleans where there were some measurements close to a foot of snow.
Hmm.
And I know it kind of made you wonder, I wonder if this is like a little foreshadowing of who may be heading there, right? Okay. I believe in that stuff. And then some snow in the Florida, which was crazy. So, yeah, that was a nutty weather pattern, a sign of just how cold it's been. Here, that cold extended down there, cold enough here that, you know, our lake iced up completely in about 2 days. It's almost completely iced over. It's about 85%. But yeah, it's just been a cold January. It's been a cold week. We're going to have more of it next week. Not nearly as cold as it's been. We're going to break out of this, I think, when we flip the new month.
Okay. So that's how I want to end this, which is, look, I've thought about this, which is, Sunday comes and goes. Depending on the result of the game, we are either pushing winter off because we don't care for 2 weeks and I don't care, baby. It's all about the Bills and football. Or we start, you know, worrying a little bit more about the weather and thinking about it because our days and our lives have changed a little bit differently. So what are we looking at over the short term here in Buffalo?
Okay. And I got to add, like you, I am so out of sorts today. I don't know where I've left my keys. I don't know where I came to work. With two different shoes on. I'm so like out of sorts for Sunday.
Yep.
So to get, in fact, I had to reflect upon last Sunday's forecast when you were talking about the snow and the game. I can't even remember what last Sunday was. Looking forward here, again, next week is going to be still cool, but not Arctic cold like it's been. There will be first of all, Monday is going to be rather windy. We have some snow potentially Tuesday, Wednesday. Doesn't look like a lot. and then maybe a bigger system for next weekend. That's something we'll have to watch. But, of course, that's an off weekend for football. Winter rolls on Buffalo style right into next week.
I know we've talked Pac-10 football. Did you see Pete Carroll's going to get – he's been hired by the Raiders?
I know. it's incredible. I mean, a former coach of mine – he was a USC coach, right? Long
yeah.
Like back
yeah,
in
yeah, the, won a national championship there, yep.
Yes, yeah. It's amazing. And by the way, he's Benjamin Buttons. He's 73, but he looks 10 years younger than he did 10 years ago.
It's amazing.
Isn't it crazy?
It is amazing. I love that. I know. Hey, Pat, listen – thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to talking to you over the next couple weeks.
You got it, Sal. Go Bills.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Pat Hammer. We're not saying goodbye, baby. We're saying talk to you next time. Dom in Rochester. Hi, Dom. Thanks for holding on. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, Sal, first of all, you do a great job. It's a pleasure listening to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I wouldn't say that even if you weren't Italian. But anyway, I've been watching the Bills since I was 9 years old, 1960. It was a love affair. But this year, or this past 6 or 7 years, watching this kid play quarterback just brings a smile to my face. And anybody, I don't care where you are, who you root for, if you don't enjoy watching this kid play football, then you're not a football fan. He just, if he's in an interview, if he's playing, he just makes me smile.
Yeah.
And just one more thing, I'll be at the game Sunday, and if I run into you Saturday night, I'd love to buy you a drink.
Hey, you never know. Never know. Might see me out and about getting some Kansas City barbecue on Saturday night. Thanks, Big Dom. Appreciate
there you.
I don't know if he's Big Dom, but he sounds like Big Dom. He said he was Italian, so I'm going to call him Big Dom. All right, Joe in Utica is going to be our last caller of the Football Friday. What's up, Joe? Bring it strong. You're the last caller of the week, buddy. I'm good. Last caller of the week. You got to bring it strong.
Wow, what an honor, man. All right, well, I'm bringing it strong. I just got to the airport in Syracuse from Utica, and I'm getting ready to get on the plane and head to Kansas City. Woo! I'll be there this afternoon.
All right.
So I'm pretty amped up, and just like you, I've been a complete disaster all morning. I went to get in the shower as I'm listening to you do the intro song, got me jacked up. I'm ready. You know, I'm listening to you, and you're telling me a story about forgetting your coffee, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot to shave my face and trim my beard as I'm in the shower. So I had to get out of the shower, go do all that. So.
It's all good, man. We're all with you. We're all Joe from Utica today. I get it, man. Yeah, that's going to be a great flight for you. What do you got? Where do you go from Utica to where?
There's no direct flight, so unfortunately I got a little short layover in Chicago, and then I'll be in Kansas City by about like 4:30 or 5 o'clock, something like that. I forgot exactly.
I'm sure there's going to be quite a few Bills fans on your flight, too.
I'm sure I'm going to be seeing some Bills gear and some Mafia members for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, just wanted to call in and just say kind of the vibes also. You know, I was a disaster on the first week of the playoffs, and a little bit better last week, and I'm even better this week. And I just feel like for the first time in my life, I'm just kind of enjoying the ride, not being a nervous wreck, but, you know, a little bit of a, you know, misplacing things like you say, but just more enjoying the ride than anything. I just wanted to call more out of superstition this week because I called last week and told the story about Roscoe. So
yeah, you did.
I got to give him a call. What the heck?
Well, I'm glad that you hung on, and I'm glad we got you in. And it's a great, great call to end the week, Joe. You have a safe flight, okay?
Thanks, man. You too. And I hope Roscoe's still looking over us. Yeah. Go Bills. Let's get this.
I'm sure he is. Roscoe, along with my Willis from years ago, Roscoe Parrish, he named his dog after. We had Willis, kind of sort of named after Willis McGahee as well. For all of those, right, who've been watching from wherever. Big weekend. Let's wrap it up when we come back, all right? We're not done yet. Got one more segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. I'm Sal Capaccio. We'll do it when we come back. We'll wrap up the week as we head towards the AFC Championship game. Do you think we could end the show any other way? Yeah, it's been the anthem for this team all year. Mr. Brightside. Hopefully you'll hear this rocking in the locker room, on the stage. Well, they wouldn't do that at Arrowhead, but somebody will have it, right? Back here in Buffalo. Open up with it Monday morning here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on the Reaction Show. I can't wait for Monday morning to be celebrating with all of you. That's what I want to think about, not the other side. Bills Chiefs Sunday, 6:30 p.m. We're going to have you covered all day long here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Countdown to kickoff. Bills game day. And of course, kickoff at 6:30 p.m., 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Enjoy it. I know that you're twisted like me, a lot of you, how you're feeling about this thing. We talked through it today. I appreciate you doing that with me. It's not enough. It's nothing we can do about it, right? Can't control it. Get to the game, let it play out. And hopefully we're talking about going to New Orleans in a couple of weeks. Sabres Live is up next. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog on a Buffalo Football Friday later on today. Have a great, great, great weekend. Be safe out there. Safe travels to Kansas City. I'll talk to you on the Bills radio broadcast on Sunday and, of course, on the Monday Extra Point Show.